Y'all believe that?
Yes.
What a great day to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
What a perfect day to have a baptism today on Resurrection Sunday. I said in Sunday school this morning, this should not be the only Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is the Lord's day.
Amen.
And every Sunday we ought to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 24. Stand with me, please, as I read the scripture. I'm going to start reading verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all these things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it to be exactly as the women also had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?'" Let's pray. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are to be assembled together in this place to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look at your word and see the many evidences of the resurrection, I pray that the resurrection will spring anew in our hearts, that our hearts would burn with passion. Lord, be with each of us today. Implant your words in our heart that it might make a difference and send us from this place a different person, a person more committed to you, a person more filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can live our lives and walk in newness of life. And we thank you and praise you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Mm-mm-mm. Evidences for the resurrection. And there are many, and we need to make sure we understand some of them. But I will tell you today that the greatest evidence of the resurrection is each one of us who have been born again. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." We have been redeemed. We have been transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And as we live our daily lives, we ought to live in resurrection power, don't you think?
Amen.
We ought to live in resurrection power, because the Spirit of God indwells each one of us. You know, I'd like to go up there and baptize Rodney again. What do you think? I was excited about that today. I love to baptize people, but today was special. This is the first time in 30 years that I've baptized somebody on Easter Sunday. I was so excited, I almost jumped out of the baptistry. But we need to be excited about seeing what God's doing in people's lives. Turn with me also to 1 Corinthians 15. We're talking about evidences of the resurrection. In one of the gospel accounts, it said Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. It's an amazing thing to me. And she lived her life the rest of the time as we know it as a tribute to Jesus Christ. She lived as a changed woman. And so when we give our lives to Christ, shouldn't you and I live as changed individuals? Shouldn't we live in resurrection power? I did this all during Sunday school today, too. I was tongue-tied. Kyle's over here going. Anyway. raised to walk in newness of life. You made that pledge, didn't you? Say you made that pledge, and so when we leave this place, we're going to leave this place differently than when we came in. We are going to walk in resurrection power. Now, evidences. Now I make known to you, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's just stop there a minute. There's the gospel of salvation in a nutshell. He died according to the Scriptures. Scriptures from beginning to end talk about the coming of the Redeemer, the death of the Redeemer, the sacrifice of the Redeemer so that you and I might have eternal life. He died bearing our sins. And so what we need to do is tell others about Jesus Christ. We don't need to yell at them about their sins. We just need to ask the Holy Spirit to speak through us and to them so that they hear from God. It's not our words that are important. It is the words of the Holy Spirit speaking through us. And so what do we need to do? We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. He needs to be in control. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit so that we don't carry out the desires of the flesh. Because it's only when those things happen that we will walk in newness of life. You wanted to share the gospel with someone? Here it is. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again because according to the Scriptures. Christ crucified, Christ risen is the gospel message. And that's what we need to share with other people. Y'all agree? Y'all agree with the Bible? You don't have to agree with me. You just have to agree with God's word. And I think that's what I'm talking about today. But evidences, more evidences for the resurrection. In verse 5 it says, and that he appeared to Cephas, who is Peter. Then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 5. Then he appeared to John, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. James did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until Jesus died, till he was resurrected. And that very James who did not believe that his brother was the Messiah went on to be the head of the church at Jerusalem. That very James was the one who was sacrificed for his faith by being thrown off the pinnacle of the temple. Was his life transformed? Is that an evidence of the resurrection? That James would give his life for something he didn't believe, and then he believed wholeheartedly. It's an amazing thing. Then to all the apostles. And last of all, as it were to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Turn back to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at Paul for a little while. I got to get a tissue. I'm starting to sweat. I'm not taking my jacket off. My wife would kill me. Acts chapter 9, you all know about Saul, right? Saul was a persecutor of the church. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. What was Saul's mission there? Saul's mission was to kill or throw into prison those who belonged to the way, those who had given their lives to Jesus Christ. And that was his mission. Now, I want you to know, and in an instant, his life was transformed. Look at verse 20. This is after he came to Ananias. And verse 20 says, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. This is a man who believed that Jesus was just a man. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. As a matter of fact, he was all caught up in killing Jesus. and throwing in jail those people who said they did belong to Jesus. And shame on us when we see people around the world being persecuted and murdered and struck down for their faith, and we keep our mouths quiet. It's a horrible thing. I heard Wally talk about the churches in Sri Lanka this morning. How many people in Africa over the last 3 months have given their lives for their Savior? Did you hear that on the news? We ought to be the trumpet. We ought to be the ones. Paul, when he was converted, turned his life over to God, and he began to preach the new good news. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We are transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, and you and I are to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul did. Let me catch my breath. You want to know what else that Paul did and how we see how his life was transformed by God? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start reading at verse 24. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. And apart from these external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. What happened to Paul? His life was changed. And he went through all this torture. No one outside of Jesus ever was tortured for their faith in the Scripture the way Paul was. No one. And you know what to say about Paul? His life was transformed, and he became the representative, the ambassador for Jesus on this earth. And he went through hell for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave everything. As a matter of fact, there is in one of the accounts in Acts the idea that he was stoned and he was left for dead. Some will tell you that he died and that God raised him from the dead. It's an amazing thing. This same Paul, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses and insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Does that describe us this morning? That we are okay with all this stuff, persecutions and distresses, and all these other things that Paul describes. Have we learned in our lives that Christ's grace is sufficient for us? Sufficient for us? There are things that have happened in my life. Your environment, when you're growing up, shapes your life. Y'all know that? Your environment shapes your life. And so I didn't grow up in a really happy environment. And so over the time of my life, when I became a Christian and I began to exhibit some of the things that I hated about my father, I had to stop and pray. And I learned firsthand that God's grace is sufficient for me. And so when I learned those things, I began to live my life differently. The power of God began to transform my life. Not into who I wanted to be, but in who he wanted me to be. As a matter of fact, in my perfect world, I'd have been retired from a different company years ago. But when God called me to the ministry, when God calls you to do something, you better do it, just so you know. And what I'm praying about today, I watch these kids up here, and you ought to start praying about it too. Some of these kids need to be prayed for that they would go into the ministry. Some of these kids need to be prayed for that they would go to the mission field. I found out after I became a pastor that my grandmother prayed for some of her grandchildren to be ministers. And here I am as an answer to her prayer. And I'm telling you that some of these kids will be an answer to your prayer. And God help us. God help others if it's Nicholas Jones. They had that little picture. They had that picture up here of the kids. You know, there were some on one side and some on the other side, and there was one right in the middle. And the one right in the middle had his hands up. And I'm thinking, boy, that's a picture of Nicholas. Except Nicholas had more than his hands up. He was dancing around. God help us if we can't get that excited about our relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to dance around because white boys can't dance. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. We can dance in the Spirit, can't we? And we can do that. If somebody gets out in the aisle and starts running up and down the aisle, I'm going to say, praise Jesus. What are you going to say? If someone stands up and says, I have a word from the Lord, I'm going to listen and I'm going to say, praise Jesus. What are you going to say? Boy, that wasn't quite the amen. That was just a little bit subdued. Yeah, I know we're a Baptist church and we don't do those things. God can't work in a Baptist church, can he? God can do anything in any church he desires to do. And maybe it's you, Joe. I'm just saying. But Paul's life was completely changed by the power of the resurrection. Are our lives completely changed by the power of the resurrection? Do we live and walk in newness of life? Or is it just the same old all the time? We can get casual in our relationship, can't we? And we have. Sometimes I've gotten casual. Sometimes you've gotten casual in your relationship with the Lord. But what we need to remember, Sunday's here. Resurrection Day is here. And we need to celebrate the resurrection. And all God's people said,
amen.
You're alive now, aren't you? Rick, I don't care about those carbs. They're going away. And as soon as you get up and start dancing a little bit, they'll really go away. Are you ready to let God change you? Are you ready to let God change your life completely? From where we are to where he wants us to be? To walk in newness of life? To walk in resurrection power? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And it goes on to say, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives my spirit that I am. Romans 8, verse 16, I think. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am his child. You know, it's almost noon now. I'm ready to go to one. How about you? Are you ready, Crystal? We're here. Evidences of the resurrection. Turn with me to 1 John. In my Bible, over 1 John, at the top, I have these words, eyewitness news. What's the power of an eyewitness? Eyewitnesses are used to prove a fact, aren't they? Mary Magdalene, Cephas, the other disciples, Paul, Peter, all these people were being used to transform society. Paul changed from being the persecutor to being the preacher. Peter changed from being the denier to being the preacher. God can do in our lives what he determines to do. And we can be moved from being casual to being on fire. And we're going to look at that in the life of a couple guys in just a minute. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. What's he say? We've heard it, we've seen it, we've touched it. We know it. Verse 2, and the life was manifested or made known, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This same John wrote the Gospel of John. And said in John chapter 1, we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to seek and to save. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom. Jesus was crucified for our sins. He was buried, shoved into a tomb with a heavy stone rolled in front of it. The kids sang about that today, didn't they? The angels moved the tomb. Jesus ascended to the Father. And we have resurrection power because of who Jesus is and what he did. Back to Luke chapter 24. You didn't think I was going back there, did you? Did you, Wally? Going to talk about that, those two guys, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. I would submit to you this morning that when Jesus started walking to them, they were still doubters. They had heard all these things, but they still doubted the truth about Jesus. And when we doubt the truth about Jesus, what happens? When we are sincerely seeking God, when we are being drawn by the Holy Spirit, what happens to us? God shows up. God shows up at just the right time. And here it is, these two guys walking down the road, concerned because all this stuff had happened, and Jesus, the Messiah who was supposed to come set up the kingdom, didn't turn out to be that guy. He was someone altogether different than what they expected. Verse 26 in Luke 24. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." And he went in to stay with them. And it came about, then when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. That's an amazing thing. They're sitting there, the Lord and Savior, the Savior of the universe, is speaking with them, and the eyes, their eyes of understanding, were opened. That's the same thing that Paul prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:18, that God would open the eyes of their understanding. And there are some things today that I don't know that I understand. And there are some things today that I'm sure you're wondering if you really understand it. But if we pray, God will open the eyes of our understanding so that we can understand the things of God, so that some of the mysteries of God are revealed to us, so that we can develop in our relationship with him, so that our lives can be transformed, so that we can learn to walk in resurrection power. The eyes of their heart were opened. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding would be open so you could know him more, so that you could love him more? I promise you this, the more you know him, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you will know him. It's a cycle. Do you love God? Do you want to love God? Do you want to know more about him? That's the thing. If the more you know him, the more you love him. There, it can't be any way else. It can't be any other way. He opened the eyes of their understanding. Go to verse 36. And while the two disciples were telling these things, he himself, Jesus, stood in their midst. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they could still not believe it for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law and the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. First, he opened their hearts, the eyes of their hearts, so they can understand him. And now he opens their minds so that they can understand him more. Do we ever pray, God, open my mind so I can see you better? God, open my mind so I can learn more about you. God, open my mind so that I can develop a deeper relationship with you. Because that's what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life is not about just standing still and thinking that God's going to prod you along. When I first started preaching, I'd preach in different places in Ohio. And I wondered, what is a guy in school going to tell somebody who's been saved for 40 years? Wally, here's what you tell him. Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures. And so I went into different churches and I would pray and ask God, what should I say? You know, I'm not Charles Stanley. I'm not even Andy Stanley. I'm not Chuck Swindoll. I'm not John MacArthur. And I asked God, why can't I preach like these people? You know what God said to me? You're not those people. You just be you. You be faithful in preaching the word. And so what I found out was, though a lot of people in those churches had been saved for 40 years, they were only 1 year old in the Lord. And that's a concern. People who have been saved 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, being 1 year old in the Lord, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Aren't we? And so we need to begin to study the word, so, and ask him to open the eyes of our heart, to open our minds to greater understanding. And there's one more open. Verse 46, and he said to them, thus it is written, that Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. He opened their lips. He opened their lips so that they could tell out the gospel. You know, we're not to share the gospel in our own strength, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit so God can use the Holy Spirit to speak through us. People are never going to be saved through human words, but people will be saved through the words of Scripture, through the words of our Father, through the words that Jesus gives us. And I will tell you, you will never find yourself in a situation where you are telling other people about Jesus that you will run out of words. You might run out of your own words, but God shows up and gives you the words that you need to speak. I know that from experience. I found myself before saying things I had no idea about. I wasn't talking in tongues. But I was talking to people, and I had run out of things. I'd run out of ideas, and God showed up. You know, when you pray and ask God to show up, when you pray and ask God to speak through you, he does. He will. He always will. He opened the understanding of their eyes. He opened their minds, and he opens their lips. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to open the eyes of our hearts. He wants to open the understanding of our minds, and he wants to open our lips so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Raised to walk in newness of life means willing to share the gospel. Raised to walk in newness of life means being obedient to everything we know is true. Not just the things we pick and choose, but everything that we know is true. Love God, love others. Isn't that our purpose statement? Love God, love others for what? For his glory. Everything is under that umbrella. Everything. So when you go out today, I'm going to send you out with the idea that we are to love God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and love others as well. I'm not finished saying that, Tori. I'll say that till I leave. Love God, love others. Walk out of this room today determined to allow God to live in and through you. With you loving God, loving others, and walking in newness of life. You willing to do that today? Listen, wait a minute. Don't say yes unless you absolutely mean it. Don't say we will unless you think, I will do my best according to the power of God that is in me. Not my personal best, but the Holy Spirit working in and through me. I will allow God to teach me to walk in his Spirit. I will allow God, I want to allow God, It's not, you know, that's not even right. I will allow God. How proud are we? How sinful can we be? It's not, I will allow God. It's, God, please come. We beg him. We beseech him. We can't demand him. But I promise you this, if you ask God to fill you with the Spirit, bang, he does. If you ask God to help you to walk in the Spirit, bang, he does. If you ask God to give you words in the Spirit, he will do that so that we can walk in newness of life. And that's the challenge today. Not just for you, but for me. We've seen some of the evidences for the resurrection, just some. There are many more. Read a couple books. I've talked about these books before. Evidence that Demands a Verdict, Josh McDowell. Who Moved the Stone, Frank Morrison. The Case for Christ, The Case for the Resurrection, The Case for Faith by Lee Strobel. Read those books. Get those books into your head. But more important than those books is this book. Amen. This is the important book. Never put any other book ahead of this on your reading list or any other list. If you only have one book to read for the rest of your life, make it this book. If you only have one book to meditate on for the rest of your life, make it this book. If you only have one book to memorize and meditate upon and live out, make it this book, because this book is the only one that matters. God, open the eyes of our hearts. Open our minds and open our lips that we might bring praise and glory to you. And now we're going to sing the best Easter song that has ever been written. I think it's hymn 533. Let's stand and sing.